By now you've noticed that this is a pretty full service with the commissioning of deacons and other volunteers, with communion coming to follow, and indeed a lot of singing and prayer. So I am not going to give you a full sermon today. We're going to do something a little bit different. Some of you may have noticed in airports when you've been traveling, t-shirts that you can get for family members that say, my mother or father or husband or wife or whatever went to wherever and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. I do not have any t-shirts for you, but I do have a report, and it is this piece of paper. Today seemed like a good day to share this with you because of the reading from the Gospel of John. And you may have noticed a familiar phrase, that they may all be one. Now, hopefully you recognize that as the motto for the denomination of which our church is a part. It's John 17, verse 21, that little quote, that they may all be one. And what does that make you think of? Anybody? Ecumenism, perhaps? Unity? A church coming together? And if you think about the United Church of Christ and its formation back in 1957 and how it was formed by the merger of different denominations, that seems like a great motto. But guess what? Mainline Christians can be guilty of proof texting just as much as evangelicals. The fact is, John was not interested in ecumenism. He wasn't interested in one big happy family. He wanted everybody to believe the way he did. And if you didn't, you didn't belong in the church. Our understanding of Scripture changes over time. And sometimes we will deploy things in new ways, even if that wasn't their intent. You can think about the Declaration of Independence, the language about all men being created equal. And clearly in 1776, that wasn't the case. But now we understand that more broadly. All of this came to mind as I was reading this passage from John and thinking about what I wanted to say today. As some of you know, I serve on the UCC's Historical Council, which is an advisory group that provides advice and counsel and perspective to the general minister and president of our denomination, currently John Dorhauer. Now, you should remember, and I've said this to you before, we are a flat organization, so no setting is above another. No setting can tell any other what it needs to believe or do or read. And sometimes that's great, but other times it can create a little bit of confusion. Back in 2016, in January, John Dorhauer asked us, as it says here on the top of the document, to consider what we would name as foundational theological claims for the UCC. Now, some truth in advertising. Originally, we heard him tell us that we should come up with theological non-negotiables, which is a more negative approach. And in our group, we wanted to cast things more positively. But think about it. What beliefs, what tenets did our different denominations bring to the table in common when they joined together in 1957? It's pretty easy for a lot of people to tell you how Congregationalists differed from Evangelical and Reformed Christians in terms of their organizations, in terms of hierarchy, but we wanted to focus on the things we shared in common. So we came up with this list of 9 items, and it took us a long time. We began our conversations in January of 2016, had a couple of days of meetings in Cleveland. We talked on the phone a number of times. We met down in Franklinton Center down in the Carolinas, talked about it again, talked some more on the phone, and then we met again in Cleveland to discuss this. And any of you who have ever been on a committee, which has tried to put together a statement about something, knows that that's not always the most pleasant experience. And it would just be easier if everybody delegated the work to you so you could sum it up all perfectly in your own words. But we found that there was something grace-filled about this exercise, because we come from different places, not only geographically, but theologically and in terms of our ecclesiology. And it was interesting for us to talk this stuff out and to try to reach a point of agreement. And the document you have before you is actually adopted by consensus. We all agreed on these things. And it wasn't necessarily easy to get there. There were things that some people wanted to include that others thought were inappropriate. We had a conversation with John Dorhauer this past spring, and he had suggested that we include something about spiritual disciplines. Now, John Dorhauer comes from a Catholic background, and spiritual disciplines are a critical part of Catholicism. And many people in the UCC today like spiritual disciplines. But all of you old line congregationalists are probably wondering what I'm talking about. That's not part of our congregationalist history. So John Dorhauer agreed to step back and not have that included. We had conversations about sin, and there were some on the committee who didn't want to include that word because it's judgmental, and we don't want to scare people off. And so we talk about things like being wayward or disobedient. But again, if you look at our congregational church history, and also in the evangelical reform tradition, there is an acknowledgement that sin is a big part of who we are. And we can't deny it. We can't take today's preferences and impose them on the past. So we have here a document that is Trinitarian. If you look at the first three items, we talk about Jesus, and we talk about God, and we talk about the Holy Spirit. We've got the Bible. But it's also ambiguous. We know that not everybody has always shared the same core beliefs or understandings. So we didn't say anything about the divinity of Jesus Christ. Some of us, me included, believe Jesus is fully human and fully divine. But there are people on the committee who, frankly, would be Unitarian by definition. So we're looking at the essentials, the things that unite us. We decided that was not a fight that we would pick. And as we look back at the history of the churches, we saw that that was an argument that was going on. We then moved into the sense of what we do as a community. And we talked about the importance of worship and preaching as being foundational to who we are. And only then did we move out to our work in the world and our commitment to what's now called social justice. And this has been a part of who we are and who the other denominations were for a long time. So I would love to hear from you, and you don't have to raise your hand now, but I really do want to hear from you, your reaction to this document. Our denomination is not creedal, so we don't have any statements of faith about what you must believe, with one exception. In the Constitution and bylaws of our church, it says very clearly, Jesus Christ is the sole head of the church. You can interpret that however you want. But we'd love to hear from people what they think about this document. It's being brought to the board of directors of the denomination this spring with Dorhauer's support. And we're going to be asking churches and conferences and associations to spend a little bit of time with this, to see where we came from. Because if we don't know our past, we really don't know our present, and we can't chart our future. So that's it. You've got homework. And I hope you'll take it seriously, and I hope I will hear from you. Because what I said before about this being a flat church is true. I may be called to preach and teach to you, but every one of us here is called to be a theologian, to speak about God. And we live in a world where a lot of people talk about God and they talk about Jesus, and I have to wonder what is informing their speech. We can all be well-informed and thoughtful and guided by our prayer. And just think about it. Next week is Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church. It's a good time for us now to think about what it is we believe and what we profess.